prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Proverbs 22:3. Hi, I'm Rob West. God's Word has a lot to say about handling money wisely and the danger of letting it handle us. Today, I'll talk about a new danger that's making it easier to go into debt. This is Money Wise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, we've talked before about buy now, pay later offers. Far too often, they lure folks into debt, often at exorbitant interest rates. Well, there's a new player in the buy now, pay later game, Apple Pay. And it means you'll be able to buy something that you don't have cash for just by waving your smartphone. It's what you might call an attractive nuisance, like a swimming pool without a fence around it. Apple will now allow consumers to pay for purchases in 4 payments over 6 weeks. And since Apple is a 500-pound gorilla in financial technology, other so-called fintech providers like Affirm and PayPal are expected to follow suit. Buy now, pay later popularity was already increasing due to COVID. By some estimates, a majority of shoppers now see paying in installments as a good thing. According to Experian, an astonishing 4 out of 5 shoppers have used buy now, pay later offers, and a majority say it may replace other ways they purchase items. It's encouraging that some experts don't think this is a good idea. They fear many consumers will end up with several buy now, pay later loans, lose track of their payment dates, and sink into debt. And I certainly agree. Right now, there's little regulation for this type of loan, but the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau is looking into how Apple's plan and others might affect consumer debt. That's probably a good idea, but you don't need help from the government to steer clear of these offers. If you don't have the cash to buy something, don't. One of the big problems with buy now, pay later is that most people don't read the fine print. But as they say, the devil's in the details. There's usually a statement in legalese to the effect that if you don't pay off the entire balance by the end of the grace period, the lender will tack on all of the compounded interest that you would have been paying, and at a very high rate. That means you haven't saved anything because now you not only owe for the purchase, but also those delayed interest charges as well. True, you could take the offer, get the merchandise, and then pay off the entire balance before the grace period ends, paying little or nothing in interest or fees. But here's the thing. Will you really do that? Do you have the money to pay off the complete balance in your savings or checking account? Or will you be able to get it before the grace period runs out? In far too many cases, people doing the buy now, pay later deal don't pay off the balance in time, and they end up paying more in interest than what the item cost in the first place. Here's an example. A furniture store offers a buy now, pay later deal, so you purchase a couch for $3,000. And yes, people do that. But now, for whatever reason, you don't pay off the balance in time, so you begin making the monthly minimum payments, often at 20% interest or more. In the end, you might pay as much as $4,800 in interest alone. So the couch really costs you almost $8,000. That's one expensive piece of furniture. There are 2 ways to avoid the temptation of buy now, pay later. One practical, one spiritual. First, the practical. Say you really do need a couch. That doesn't mean you have to buy a new one. Instead, go to the Salvation Army, Goodwill, or some other thrift store and buy a decent used couch for maybe a few $100s or less. You can look at online classified ads too, or maybe on your social networks. Now, you've got your couch and it'll be fine for a while, but you still want something a little nicer. That's fine, so start saving for the couch you really want. Discipline yourself to put that money away every month, perhaps with an automatic transfer from your checking account. Once you have the money saved, you can pay cash for the couch of your dreams without paying a nickel in interest. The spiritual way to avoid these pay later offers is to search your heart for why you feel discontent. If you're willing to consider one of these dangerous offers, odds are you're not content with God's provision and you feel like you should have more. So pray that the Holy Spirit will give you discernment and the peace that comes with truly trusting God to provide for your needs. Pray that your will would become His will. You know, Mark 11 assures us, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. This new trend in finance doesn't have to become the way you operate with God's money. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal, daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions. Hey, our team is away from the studio, so don't call in, but we've got some great questions we lined up in advance. Let's go right to the phones. Cleveland, Ohio, WCRF. Carl, thank you for calling. How can I help you, sir?
Hi, yes. This question is regarding credit card payment. I've been paying on my credit card regularly, no problems. My question is, should I wait for my statement? For instance, I have $200 worth of charges. I've been paying off before, and I get a statement that says zero because I didn't know anything. And I get paid every couple of weeks. I didn't know, is it better just to wait till I actually says I owe $200 and then pay it off? Or does it matter?
It really doesn't matter. I mean, the only reason why you would want to pay before the closing date of the statement, which is what you're doing and why the statement is showing zero, even though you have charges during the month. The only reason why you'd want to do that is if that statement balance was more than 30% of your limit, because that's the threshold by which you're going to start to deteriorate your credit score. But I suspect, just based on what you described, you know, the amount that you're putting on that card every month that you're paying off is such a small balance that it's not anywhere close to 30% of the limit. And therefore, it really doesn't matter that that's hitting your credit file each month as a balance owed, even though you would potentially be paying it off a couple of days later. Because it's such a small amount, it's not going to hurt you in any way. Is that true, though? It's just a few hundred dollars, and that would be a very small percentage of your limit?
Right. It's just, yeah, it's maybe $300, $350 at max. Yeah, it's way under. Okay.
Yeah. And if you're paying it off every month to zero, then you're never going to pay any interest charges either. So it's really just a function of the timing, whether or not you want that balance to show on your credit report. And because of what the way you're doing it and how little you're putting on that account, it's not going to affect you one way or the other. So if you're in a routine to go ahead and send that early, then continue to do it. If you'd rather wait, find out what the exact balance is and then pay it off in full at that point. In either case, you're not going to pay a penny of interest, and it's really not going to affect you one way or the other from a credit standpoint.
Well, marvelous. Thank you for your help.
Okay, Carl, thanks for calling. God bless you. Chicago, Illinois. Linda, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for needed some wisdom.
Sure. How can I help?
I very recently paid off a car note, old vehicle, a 2005 Toyota, and I discovered that, and I had worked so hard on building my credit. It was coming up very well, and after the vehicle payoff, I'm noticing it's showing account closed from the financial company, and not, you know, paid in full or closed paid. And also a drop in my credit report.
Yes.
I mean, credit scores, rather. So I'd like to know if you can share some wisdom. Is this something that happens and it will be turning back around and going back up?
Yes. Does it should indicate whether the account was closed by you or by the issuer. Does it say it was closed by you?
No, it's just stating account closed.
Okay. And this wasn't delinquent in any way. This was just an on-time payment you were making, and then you paid it off, and that's what closed it. Is that right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, okay. You know, that shouldn't be affecting you really much at all. What kind of drop did you see in your credit score?
I believe, I think my eyes were in shock, and I got a little bothered and forgot the exact number. I'll just say maybe 25 points, maybe.
Okay, yeah. I think what you're experiencing there is just a temporary drop that will often happen whenever we close an account, Linda. And here's why. There's 1/5 of your credit score, well, not in equal parts, but there's 5 key components to your credit score, and one of them is called your credit mix, and it makes up 10% of your score. And so your credit mix changed when you closed that account, because that installment loan, which is what a car note has now, by virtue of you closing that account and therefore paying it off, it's now been removed from your overall credit mix. And so when the credit mix changes, it can result in a drop in your credit score. And the theory behind it is they want you, in terms of a quote-unquote good credit risk, they want you to demonstrate that you can be an on-time payer with lots of different types of credit, revolving, installment, mortgage. And so your installment portion of the credit mix has been removed from the credit file. That's okay. I'd rather you do that than you paying interest on a car loan. So just because the credit scoring formula doesn't always reward the right things, that is getting out of debt completely, it's only a temporary drop, and it's a minor one at that. And here's the bottom line. As long as you have a credit score over 740, you're going to qualify for the very best rates and terms. And I suspect you're probably not going shopping for a new loan of any kind in the near future, are you?
Well, I didn't want to throw a second question or issue in there with this, but unfortunately, it was confirmed just last week my engine is has gone. It's going out.
And your car?
Could be connected to a bed oil change. Possibly they put the wrong oil type in there and it just started ticking afterwards.
Yes. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Have you gone back and retraced this back to the company that changed the oil? I realize this may be difficult to prove, but at least, perhaps they would be honest and take a look at their records to see if, in fact, the wrong oil was put in, and therefore they may have some liability here.
Right. That is on my to-do list to stop by there. I know on the paperwork that I have, I was looking, it's showing that it was one quart oil low prior to the oil change. It says pre-oil change, and then it was one quart low. It's a Toyota Prius hybrid. And
I see.
And, yeah, they just sap up oil, and I have to constantly check. So I guess I didn't check quick enough for that, but it was oil in the vehicle, of course, but it was showing one low. And I'm thinking that they may well use that.
They certainly could. Well, listen, I'd ask the Lord to give you some wisdom. I'd definitely retrace your steps and see if, they'll at least explain to you what the status was and whether or not an error was made. Bottom line is, if you do need to put a new engine in, I would at least get to the opinion of a couple of independent mechanics to make sure that it's necessary. And perhaps a rebuilt engine would be the way to go. But also make sure that it's worthwhile, that you're going to get the life out of it that you're looking for. But if it's in good shape, it may make some sense. But I think the bottom line, Linda, related to the credit score is this temporary drop of 25 points is going to be fairly negligible and really not prevent you from doing anything you need to do. So I wouldn't give it a second thought. You focus in on that car, and we'll ask the Lord to provide you just the right answer for that. We appreciate your call today. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
If we choose to live as if we are not made in the image of God, then in a sense, we become free to make ourselves in whatever image that we want.
Living as God's Image Bearers, an article by Jordan Chambly.
If we are made in the image of God, then the way we think about ourselves and the way that we think about other human beings should be shaped by that truth.
Want to read Jordan's article? Visit afa.net/the stand.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Christian parents are on the hook today because they have to identify the threats to the value system that's being taught to their children in public schools, and their job is to protect their kids from these influences.
Tune in for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson, weekdays at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. on American Family Radio.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our program. God's blessings to you all.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in. We're not here to answer the phone, but we lined up some great questions just for this episode in advance. And so we're going to head back to the phones, Newcastle, Pennsylvania. Hey, Annie, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, I wanted your opinion on using one of our cars as a personal rental car through some of these apps and services. We're not in a vacation area.
I see. Yeah, you know, signing up to rent out a spare car through one of these car sharing apps is certainly a way to passively make money. One of the largest, called Turo, claims you can make on average about $10,000 or more a year by renting out your car. And if you have an extra and aren't using it, it's one way to go. I think you just need to keep in mind a couple of things. Number one is you're responsible for the increased maintenance, which could be costly. It's going to be used more. Your vehicle has to be kept clean and well-maintained. And if you get damage from an accident or it's stolen, of course, you know, even though you might have coverage, you wouldn't be able to use it for an extended period. I think the insurance piece is just the other big one, because your insurance, your personal insurance, likely will not cover your car for a commercial purpose. Now, these car sharing companies do provide insurance. If they didn't, this wouldn't work. So they will often provide that commercial auto insurance with liability protection, uninsured or underinsured motorist coverage, personal injury and collision. But here's what I would do. I would actually call your insurance company and let them know that you're thinking about doing car sharing, and just make sure that that's not going to create any problems. And just have them explain to you, you know, whether that's going to be any issue at all. You know, in terms of them canceling you because you're going to do this, typically they can't do that. But I think just being, you know, full disclosure, making sure there aren't any gaps, and then perhaps getting an umbrella policy, which is just a policy that kicks in whenever a gap occurs with any of your policies for liability purposes, is probably not a bad idea. Of a couple of $1 million, it should be fairly inexpensive. An umbrella policy kicks in over and above the existing policies that you have. So everything from somebody, you know, hurts themselves while they're at your home to, you know, you have a claim against you because of a car accident, that's where an umbrella policy would kick in. So I think I would just look into a few of those things and contact your insurance company. But if all those things check out and you feel like you're properly protected, it could be a great way to bring in some extra money.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate the advice.
Okay, Annie, take care. God bless you. Dina is in Hollywood, Florida. I know it well. Dina, go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I had a couple of occasions to listen to you, but I have been invited to join a cryptocurrency that's called Pi. And I am very concerned about it, and I want to know what you can tell me about it.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you looking to do, Dina? Are you looking to invest in it, or are you looking to just use the cryptocurrency? What is it you're thinking?
I really don't trust it. I don't know what it's all about, and I don't know that it's something that we have to do. But I was told that this one, it's free right now, and each one is cost $1,000. But it's free now. You just have to go in and click it, and then later on, it might cost you money to buy them.
Okay. Well, here's what I would say. I'm not familiar with specifically with what you're talking about. I would just say in general, I would stay away from my rule is, if I can't explain it, I don't invest in it. And I think that would certainly be the case here. You know, the key is you want to understand exactly what you're getting into. You know, these are very volatile investments. They haven't proven themselves. They have scalability issues just in terms of, you know, some of them have capacity limitations. They're vulnerable to security risks. But I think, you know, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. These cryptos are here to stay. Dina. And so you're going to, you know, hear more and more about them. They're becoming more widely available. You know, we just are hearing all the time. For instance, one of the big brokerage firms just announced that they're going to be allowing Bitcoin in their 401ks. I think it was Fidelity recently. So, you know, and some of the big retailers are now accepting cryptocurrency. So they're not going anywhere. Clearly, but I think this is something that I wouldn't be investing in just because, you know, of the scalability. And I would do a lot more research before, you know, I look at any of the new type of cryptos. So I think if it were me, and some may say, well, you're missing out on a big opportunity to get on the ground floor, perhaps, but I'm also missing out on a lot of schemes that are out there as well, you know, which some of these are in fact scams. So I'd probably pass on this, Dina, given that you were already a little skeptical to begin with. Okay.
Thank you. I have another question. Is that possible?
Okay. Yeah, go right ahead.
I have some bonds, paper bonds. I heard you talk about I bonds. Can they intermix, or how can I use the ones I have?
Yeah, so you would need to redeem them first, and then you could reinvest those dollars, and if there might be some tax due, and you'd get, you know, the value of the bond back. So what I would start with is going, if you have some paper bonds, go to treasurydirect.gov. You can type in the CUSIP number of those paper bonds into the website. They'll tell you what the value is, and then you could redeem those, and then you could turn around and invest those into I bonds if you wanted to.
Thank you. Appreciate
okay. TreasuryDirect.gov is the place to go. And Dina, thanks for your call today. God bless you. Hey, a quick email. This one is from Linda. I've paid my rent for the next couple of months. I was thinking of subleasing. If I sublet, would it be a bad thing to ask the person to pay me even though my rent is paid? Is this wise or unethical? It's not unethical at all. You can sublet as long as you're permitted to do that by your landlord. And the way you sublease is they pay you. And obviously, you've got to keep the lease paid yourself. So just make sure there's not any prohibition against that in your current lease. And make sure you communicate clearly your timeline for how long this is available so they're not caught off guard if you know, they have to move out at some point. Thanks for your email, Linda. We're going to pause for a brief break, but we'll be back with more MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Whether the Apostle Paul or King Manasseh, the Bible is chocked full of testimonies of God's irresistible grace of unlikely converts. Hear their stories, some known, some obscure, on a Haven Today series all week called Unlikely Conversions.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really,
you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thankful to have you along today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Phone lines aren't open today since this is a recorded program, but we have some great questions we think you will find helpful. Let's head back to the phones. Minnesota we go. Dolores, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I was really surprised to get through.
Oh, I'm glad you got through.
What I was wondering is this. I had heard about these I-bonds, and I went to my financial advisor, and he explained that I don't get them through them, that I would have to go to the website or whatever. But I have my retirement with them. And I have like $28,000 about. And so he kind of tried to figure out roughly what he thought would be best. But what he said that he felt like in the long run, I would be, if I could make it through a couple of years, in other words, I would come out better to leave my retirement money as it is in there. But then after I left him, I got to thinking, I wonder if I borrowed the money for the I bonds and then just kept the bonds. And then when the fees became due on the loan, pay it with the interest I got. And then I would have that money that I borrowed to be able to add to my retirement. Is possible to do that or not?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Dolores, I probably wouldn't do that. I don't like investing with borrowed money. Obviously in this case, you know, you're backed by the U.S. government. So that's obviously, it's very safe, but at the same time, you're paying interest on it. I just think borrowing for investing purposes is really not the best way to go. So if you don't have the liquid funds in addition to your savings, your emergency savings, then I'd probably pass on the I bonds right now. And I think just staying the course with your investment assets that are being managed for you and continuing to contribute to those if you're still working as much as you can, that would be great. And if you're not, then just let that grow. Keep your lifestyle as minimal as possible so you can avoid touching that as long as you can. But in terms of borrowing to invest, I just typically would encourage folks to stay away from that.
Okay. I didn't really know, and I thought, well, maybe it would balance out the amount that it cost me to the amount that I make, you know.
Right. And you may come out a little ahead, but it's not going to be much, and you're going to have to pay taxes on the I-bond interest as well, which is going to further reduce what you're getting. So I think to try to borrow that money, the little bit you might get after the taxes are paid on the interest is just not worth you going through that hassle.
Yeah, I didn't think about the taxes because I know that my retirement is Roth, you know, and I don't think about the taxes. So.
Got it, yeah.
Okay.
All righty.
Well,
we appreciate you.
Very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling today. God bless you. Let's head to Idaho. Al, thank you for calling. Go right ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking my call. I will try to keep this concise, but I'm not sure I've got even the terminology right. My wife and I are preparing to retire. Our portfolio of assets is about $500,000. We consolidated a number of small rollover IRA and 401ks with an investment group through my wife's employer. Their recommendation for long-term care coverage would be for us to take what turns out to be almost 50% of our total portfolio assets and to put them into a life insurance policy with a long-term care rider. If we then were to use those long-term care benefits, they would fund a full long-term care event for about 4 years for each of us. If we don't use it, I think if I understand right, we get about half of that money back. It doesn't feel like a great investment, and I'm not sure if there might be better ways both to get long-term care coverage or to invest those monies in a different way. Any suggestions?
Yeah, very good. How much would you put into that policy?
Well, we have about $500,000. They're suggesting about $125,000 to $150,000 each.
Okay. All right. And are you all fully retired?
I am not. I'm still working. My wife has just retired.
Okay. Very good. And what is your plan in retirement to fund your expenses? Are you going to need to draw an income from this $500,000, or do you have it covered another way?
No, we'd be drawing income from it.
Okay. Yeah, you know, before I like insurance products with a long-term care rider as a way to tackle long-term care. Increasingly straight long-term care policies are just continuing to increase in cost. They're becoming very expensive, and for many folks, it's just not a good option. This is one way to do it, though, especially if there's a return of premium option. So I would be open to this, but I think this needs to be done in light of your overall retirement plan. And there's just not enough time here with all the moving pieces for me to really weigh in on whether this makes sense in light of other options. So I'd recommend you, if you have an advisor with Fidelity, that's great. You may benefit from getting a second opinion, just on having somebody look at what you have saved at this point, what your lifestyle needs are going to be, and what best investment strategy will generate the income that you need so that you can cover your expenses on a monthly basis. So I think at this point, do you have an advisor or is there that you're working with, or is this just somebody with Fidelity that you don't really have a relationship with?
It is somebody with Fidelity. We don't really, we've talked with them a couple times, don't really have a relationship. I've tried a number of different folks to try to get a second opinion. I said, I'd be happy to pay by the hour. I may not use you for a long-term care strategy, but can you just weigh in? I've been told by a couple of people that our portfolio isn't big enough. They don't do that type of stuff for small players like us.
even at $500,000?
Yes, that's what we were told. And two of them have been people that are the Kingdom Advisors.
Okay.
They say, we just use bigger groups. And so I haven't been able to find anybody that might be able to serve us.
Interesting. Well, I would keep calling around and I would search for a CKA specifically in the financial planning area and uncheck the boxes for the other disciplines, because what you're really looking for is somebody who can just provide a financial plan specific to retirement income, investment strategy, and insurance, and you may or may not need somebody to manage the money. And there are a lot of folks out there that just do fee-based or fee-only financial planning. And that's really what you need, because I really want somebody to look at your whole financial picture and to be able to look at all the different pieces and parts and help you put a plan together that makes sense, that solves for long-term care, that solves for your retirement income, that solves for protecting your your assets into the future. So I think at this point, I'd recommend you spend a little bit more time and see if you can find that advisor that you're looking for that can provide, you know, an hourly financial plan specific to these issues we're talking about today, even if you don't decide to hire them for investment management. But conceptually, I think this is a good option. I just would love for somebody to look at the whole picture. Does that make sense?
So much. And it's helpful to know that those people are out there for hourly fee as well. So thank you
Absolutely.
For your consult.
Yeah, no worries, Al. And just keep looking. We'll ask the Lord to connect you with just the right person. We appreciate your call today. By the way, if you'd like to give a gift to the ministry, you can do it quickly and easily at moneywise.org. Just click donate. We'll be right back.
Hannah's Heart, a half-hour program specifically designed to encourage Christian couples walking through infertility and miscarriage.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome, but this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hannah's Heart with Ann Cockrell and Kendra White each Saturday afternoon at 5 Central on American Family Radio. You can find the podcast at afr.net.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's that's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at moneywise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thanks for joining us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio as we apply biblical wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing money issues, well, they're heart issues. Hey, our team is away from the studio today, so don't call in, but we lined up some great questions in advance. So you enjoy as we head to the phones, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Martha, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thank you very much. I just have a quick question. I listen to your program every chance I get, and I often hear you talking about planned giving. That kind of scares me. I know you always say you can't outgive God, and I believe you. But I'm on my own. I live alone. I'm 72, 71, I guess. And I don't know what planned giving means. I tithe, but I don't think that's planned giving. So that's my question.
Yeah, well, it could mean a couple of things, and so let's explore that for a second. You know, the idea that we should have a plan for our giving just simply means that if we want to give to our maximum ability, we ought to plan for it. And that could mean something as simple as we're going to go back to our budget as we consider that maybe a couple of times a year and looking at our expenses and ways to cut back. And we're going to say, how do I put a line item in the budget that actually allows me to continue to increase that number over time by, you know, decreasing other areas, you know, as we pay off debt and perhaps reducing lifestyle as, you know, our taxes go down because over time we have less income, like in retirement. How do we plan for our giving at the spending level on a monthly basis? I think the second opportunity in terms of planning for our giving would be to say, what other assets can we give? So oftentimes we give out of cash. In fact, that's what 90% of giving comes out of. It comes out of our cash, meaning our income, but really only 10% of our wealth is held in the form of cash for most people. And so that means our greatest opportunity for giving is through our assets, our balance sheet. So real estate, appreciated stocks, artwork, cars, things that we no longer need that could be donated to ministry or charity in exchange for a tax deduction. And through our asset type giving, we can actually give more than if we just focus on our cash giving. And that would be a form of planning our giving because we're looking at other ways to give even more. And then there's a third option, and that would be what's referred to as planned giving, which is a term. And that just simply refers to gifts that happen beyond your life. And so, these can take the form of typically three things. One would be a bequest, which is where you make a gift of either cash, personal property, real estate, stocks, bonds, but it's left in a will for a charity. And this could be where you just make a general request or something specific, but through a bequest, you're essentially giving a gift at death. The second could be a charitable gift annuity, where you'd turn over a certain amount of money through a contract between you and a charity, and they would take that lump sum, give you a tax deduction for it, give you an income stream for the rest of your life, and then at your death, the charity retains the asset for their use. And then the third would be a trust, what's often called a charitable remainder trust, which is, again, just another tool where you can get a tax deduction when you'd give a gift of a lump sum. You can then receive the income from that trust, and then at death, it becomes the asset of the charity that it can use. So give me a sense of what you are thinking about when you hear me talk about planning, whether it's just current giving where you're planning for it in your budget, or whether it's asset-based giving, or whether it's planned giving, which is really about, giving opportunities, between now and death.
Well, I hadn't thought of the last two that you mentioned. I have four kids and I have 18 grandkids.
Wow.
So my thought was that whatever is left after I die, I've already set aside a will for that.
Yes.
And so I have a budget. I've had a budget for many years.
Yes, ma'am.
And so I listened to your first part, and I think probably that's where I guess I resonate with the most, because I collect Social Security, but I also work full time.
Yes.
And so I could do more than I'm doing. There's no doubt. I feel the freedom to go to Starbucks maybe once a week or something.
Yeah.
And, and so I think, well, maybe I shouldn't. I really could tighten down my belt and be really, really tight about it. But I don't know. I guess probably going over my budget and looking again at what I give and what I don't give and what I save. And I've heard you say, it's so true, it's not what you give, it's what you don't give.
Yeah.
So I hear you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I think, it would be great if we could turn to God's word and it tells exactly what we should give. And yet I think there's a reason that we don't see it spelled out that clearly, because he really is all about our hearts and not the money. And so I think he wants each of us to be on our knees saying, Lord, all of this is yours. It's not that 10% is yours and 90% is mine. It's all yours. You've entrusted it to me. Now, what do you want me to do with it? And clearly you want me to provide for myself and for others. And clearly you want me to be giving and helping others in need and be connected to your activity and where you're at work. And perhaps you want me to give a portion of it, down the road as an inheritance. And in the midst of all of that, I want to find you and your heart for me and where you're leading me and what you want me to do. And that's not something anyone can tell you. I think that's ultimately between you and the Lord. So I would be just asking him that question. Maybe you take the next couple of weeks and say, Lord, what would you have for me to do in this area? And do you want me to cut back? Or are there other ways I should be giving, both now and at death? Also, you mentioned all those kids and grandkids. Are there ways you can encourage them in their own generosity journeys? This is where perhaps, you saying to them, and maybe this is as simple as at Christmas, instead of giving the typical gift, you give them, $100 or $200 and say, here's my instructions. The only thing I ask for you to do is to give it away. And then write me a letter and tell me who you gave it to and what God did. And so that's a way for you to not only use your giving, but use it in a way that spurs others on, people you love, into greater generosity. So I would just say, get creative, make it an adventure with God and see what he does, okay?
I think that's excellent. I've thought often of giving to people in need, and I don't know how you find that category when we are surrounded by people in need. So
yes,
I hear you.
Well, there's a pastor here in Atlanta that says, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. And I think that's good advice. And I think you should just ask the Lord and the Holy Spirit to give you unique insight and wisdom into whom he might place on your path that perhaps he would, through a divine appointment, have you to bless. And I think when you begin to look for that, God will show you who that person is. And so I would just say, ask him and see what he does, and then give us a call. Let us know about it. I'd love to hear it.
Thank you. That's excellent. Thank you so much. You have a great evening.
All right, Martha, God bless you. To Tim in Indiana. Tim, thank you for your patience. Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Finally got on with you. Been trying for quite some time, and it just never works out. But I'm glad we're here now. I've got a few questions for you.
Okay.
I am 56, and my Social Security looks good. But, you know, I'm afraid that my Social Security may not be there in 9 years when I can retire. I don't know what your thoughts are on Social Security. And, you know, I know there's a lot of petitions out there where I've signed to try and I didn't know that the federal government could just take our Social Security money and do with what they please. I always thought it was secured, but evidently it's not.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. Couple of things. Number one is we all know the statistics. The latest data says, I believe it's 2035, the Social Security Trust Fund will be out of funds. That doesn't mean there's not any dollars to pay at that point, current Social Security benefits. It just means that they're paying out more than is coming in. And so at that point, if nothing changes, and I don't think that's going to happen because this is too important of an issue not to be dealt with. Should it have been dealt with before now? Yes, I think it should have. But will it be dealt with at some point before we get to that point? I think that's also true as well. But if nothing were to change, Tim, in 2035, the fund would be dry, but the Social Security Administration would still at that point be able to pay out 75% of the benefits as they exist today. So it's not like that money's going to be gone. I think what's going to happen is this is such an important issue legislatively and politically that it will be dealt with. It's probably going to come through either increased taxes, continuing to move out the full retirement age. There could be any number of things that could be done to protect and keep those benefits intact. And I think we will see one or a combination of those tools so that Social Security will be there. It's just too much of an important issue. So for me, I would say, I would continue to count on that. But keep in mind, it was never intended to offset 100% of your pre-retirement income. It was only intended in its current form to offset 40% at the most. And so you need to be saving in addition to that. And I think you'll see something, and it's probably something very close to what it is today.
Okay, well, that's good news to know because, I that's what I wanted to run across to you as well. Social Security has been a big concern of mine, because, first of all, I've worked hard all my life and I've paid into this thing, and somebody's going to pay it back. My investment, me and my wife, with three boys, we've always pretty much lived paycheck to paycheck, so we didn't have any money really to invest in anything until our later years, so I have been paying into my 401k, and I pay a pretty large amount into that, and then I opened a Roth IRA account, and I divided the money between the Roth IRA and a rollover IRA.
Okay. Hey, let's do this. I'm unfortunately out of time, but I want to talk to you more. So you stay right there. I think the bottom line is let's plan on Social Security being there. I think changes are going to be made. Number two, just keep living as modestly as you can and put away as much as you can for the future through those tax-deferred vehicles. We appreciate your call today, Tim. You stay there. We'll talk a bit more after the program. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. MoneyWise on American Family Radio is a partnership between American Family Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much to my team. I couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.